So today I'm not preaching. I'm excited that my niece is here. Rachel Reynolds is going to be preaching this morning. So pretty exciting. It's very exciting. This is awesome. And Rachel is a nurse practitioner. She's been helping us at the Medical and Pregnancy Center for the past few years. But what's really exciting is Rachel has been going on medical missionary trips, evangelistic trips to Kenya for several years now. But as this year unfolded, she ended up taking four trips to Kenya. Four times she went to Kenya and did these missionary evangelistic trips. And each time I'd ask her how'd it go, and man, she was just like exploding, you know, like, oh my gosh, wow. I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome stuff. So, you know, I thought it'd be exciting just to give her a chance to share this morning what God's doing as far as medical mission trips and what God's been doing over there. But I think also what's exciting, and this is something we've shared before, that when you go out and you do mission trips or evangelistic trips, anytime you go out and you extend yourself like that, I think there's two things that happen. God uses you to affect other people. I mean, that's the idea. You're going out to try and help people. There's this other side of it where the Holy Spirit does something in your own heart, awakens you, gives you revelation, stirs you up. And so what I'm excited about is we're going to have Rachel share what God was doing in these mission trips in Kenya and just share what God's doing in her heart. So would you welcome Rachel this morning?
Thank you. It's an honor to be here today. I'm really excited. But first, before I get started, it is Vets Weekend, so I would actually just like to honor any veterans that are in the room. If you could stand for me, please. We just want to say thank you so much. And remain standing. Remain standing. Wait, remain standing. Thank you so much for your service. If you guys are standing around them, if you could just stretch your hands out to them, we just want to pray a blessing on our vets today. So God, we just say thank you for these men and these women who've served and protected our country. God, we just ask that you just come right now and you just invade their hearts, their mind, their spirits. Lord, just fill them up to overflowing. Everything that they've poured out, everything that they have given, God, I ask that you refill them. Lord, that you just bless them, you bless their families, just a supernatural protection and covering over them and their families. And God, just fill them with just the joy of the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you. So like Uncle David was saying, I have had the opportunity to go to Kenya four times this year, and I actually got to go to England once this year. So it was a really full year, and God is crazy. He's doing amazing things. He's moving pretty mightily. So every time I go with a small team of people, and we go to this really remote village called Bumalabi. And it's like in the middle of nowhere, and it's surrounded by other really small villages. And so I thought I would just share real quick with some pictures of what God is actually doing over in Kenya, because he's moving mightily. So up here on the screen is actually a school of 500 kids. It's an elementary school. So our team had the opportunity to go around to different schools, and we did a skit, and I had the opportunity in this picture to preach the gospel to 500 kids, and all 500 of them accepted Jesus in their heart at the end. It was amazing. And then they were released to go into the villages. And so the next one, this is actually a team called Metro. So what they're doing is they go into school districts. So they reach about 60,000 kids in a week. And they even go into places that are like this. That's a dump. That's the dirtiest and filthiest place I've ever gone in my entire life. It was so tragic. Kids live in that. And they actually ended up building a school inside the dump for the kids that live in the dump. So what this team Metro does is they go into the school systems and they go into systems like the dump and not that one. they go into the dump and they preach the gospel, but they also tell these kids their worth. They speak identity over these kids. They tell these kids who they are and whose they are. So what they're doing is they're rising up these kids and empowering these kids, and then they're sending these kids out to go home. So this team right here is actually transforming 60,000 kids every single week. So the next slide is actually a woman. So when we do local evangelism, we go hut to hut. So this is Francesca. We went to her hut thinking we were going to bless her, and in the end, we totally got wrecked. She actually is a widow, and her husband had passed away, and her husband's family tried to inherit her, and she didn't want that. So actually that went against their culture, and they were beating her and abusing her. So she fled for her life with her kids. So she ended up in this small village that we went to go do local evangelism in. And she told us the way she came to know Jesus is he actually, after she had fled, he walked into her hut. Jesus himself walked into her hut, sat down, and talked with her, and he led her to himself. So we were like, can you anoint us with that? That's amazing. So now she's a local evangelist in her village and villages, and she actually is a single woman, which goes against her culture as well, and she is just spreading the gospel all throughout her village. So the next one is, this is a church, and this is in Mauuko. So Mauuko is this dark village. It's known for its darkness. The month that we went in July, it had 4 murders, a woman was raped, and a guy hung himself, and within the month we went. So we found out about this village, so we were like, let's go in there. So we started to do spontaneous crusades. We did a spontaneous healing service. We went hut to hut, local evangelism. And so I actually got to go back in September and follow up with it. And this is what I found, is the people who were so hungry for the Lord started to meet in the village square. That's the village square. And just brought chairs. And they would have church service every Sunday. They didn't care that the village saw them. They didn't care who like was there and who wasn't there. They just wanted to worship the Lord. So their hunger was so great that even though they didn't have 4 walls, they came together and still worshiped the Lord. And then the next one is when we did local evangelism, we found out where a medium lived. And he practices witchcraft. He understands power. He just understands it in the other sense. He uses it the wrong way. And so we found out where he lived. And the very last day, this last trip in September I took, we went to his hut, and there was a small team of us. We sat down with him, and we just spoke to him like anybody else. We just simply presented him with good news. And this is him actually at the end when we were done speaking with him. He said, I want that. I want that, Jesus. So this is him accepting Jesus in his heart. So now he's going to operate in the right power this time. Very exciting. And then also while we're there, we have the opportunity to go to the prison. So we go to a men and women's prison. So this is actually a men's prison that we went to. And the way they did the field was really interesting. They divided the field where the prisoners were on one side, and then there was this like massive ditch. And then they put all of us on the other side of the ditch. And so the prisoners, there were so many of them just sitting there. And so we had the opportunity to like worship and preach the gospel to them. And these prisoners, when we said, if you want Jesus in your heart, these prisoners in front of everyone ran forward, climbed through the ditch, boldly proclaimed that I want Jesus. They were so hungry and so totally surrendered. They were like, I don't care what I look like, with all eyes open. They were like, I'm going after it. So they came forward, and these prisoners, with the past that they have, they didn't care. They understood what freedom looked like, and that's what they were claiming right here, is Jesus in their heart. So that was pretty amazing. So I just thought I wanted to share some photos with you, what God's doing. That's only like 7 photos of thousands I could share, and thousands of stories behind it. It was pretty amazing. So I wanted to show you guys, God is moving. He is on the move. He is not a stagnant God. He is moving and constantly moving. And he's awakening Kenya. I just see it firsthand. And so God actually has been using this past year to really speak to my heart. What does it mean to be awake? How does that look? What does that look like? And so if we could turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 8. If you don't have your Bibles, I have it up on the screen here. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay, and then we're going to jump down to verse 14. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Gosh, God has been really speaking to me about that. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and let Christ shine on you. That has been this Bible verse that I just keep on repeat over and over again. Paul was urging us to wake up. So as God was speaking to me about what does it mean to be awake, I started to think about it, and I realized that we can be awake, but there's certain areas of our life, of our heart, and of our spirit that may not be awake. It may be dead. It may be dormant. If you want to interchange dead and dormant, some other words could be certain areas of our heart or life or spirit can be breathless, can be spiritless, can be numb, can be stagnant or still, we're not moving forward, unresponsive, lost, barren, lifeless. So that's what it means to be dead. It can be any of those things. Those are just some synonyms. So what does it mean to be awake? So literally in the dictionary, it's to arouse to action, to become active, to become or to bring to an awareness, to become cognizant. So if we're going to apply this to spiritually, I just wanted to make it, this is like the most basic generalization I can make about what it means to be awake, because I didn't have sermon after sermon and sermon to do it. So this is just like, just a simple overview of what does it mean to be awake. So first, when we're awake spiritually, we can see, right? So when you're in the grave, your eyes don't work. You're dead. You're literally dead. Your eyes aren't working. But when you're awake, literally and spiritually, you can see. So what do I mean by that? So you actually can see opportunities that God's presenting in front of you where you can bring the kingdom. Simple places, like the grocery store or the post office. I think I told your guys' church, I can't remember, when I went to the post office on a Monday morning and I got a word of knowledge for the teller behind the counter for back pain. So we ended up going in the lobby of the post office and I was praying for her back pain, and two other workers at the post office were like, I want back pain healed too. So they came and it was like, bam, 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 God healed. They were jumping and leaping and praising God in the middle of the foyer of the post office. And it was like revival broke out. So what do I mean to see? Literally, you see opportunities where you can bring the kingdom. Another reason you can see, or a way you can see, is you see vision. You see vision of your future. You see your calling. You see your destiny. You can see where God is pulling you, where God is calling you, and what your impact and purpose is in life. You see with your eyes. And if you have those things, that actually brings hope into your heart. So when you're awake, when you're actually awake, you are hopeful because you have that vision and calling and purpose. You see what God is doing. This also links into the gift, if you can see, with the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is seeing into the future, seeing into something that will strengthen, comfort, and encourage yourself or others. This ties in with words of knowledge as well. Like, you see where God is moving, and you apply that to your life. So this woman, when we were in Africa, we went to her hut, and she was a mom, and she was blind, and she actually had whited over eyes, and so our team was like, we're praying for that, and it's just an opportunity. And so so we started to pray for her eyes, and she started to regain her vision. But not only did she start to regain her vision, but we noticed her right eye, her iris started to change color. It started to become brown where it was whited over before. So we were like, oh my gosh, God is moving, because we keep praying. So we kept praying for her, and as we started to pray, the more vision she regained, which we were testing out what she could see before, which was like nothing, to what like God was doing that helped us know when God was moving. And so as we started to test out her vision, she started to regain her vision, and then her left eye started to change color too. So when we left that hut, she could see and she had color in her eyes, which her eyes were brown and they were beautiful. It was amazing. It was amazing. So that's, yes, yeah, thank you, Jesus. So what does it mean to be awake? So you can see and you can also hear. So what does hearing mean? Well, I think it's simple. Obviously, you can hear. But I think it's more than that. It's being intentional about listening. And it's also recognizing God's voice. Because who knows? How many of us know the enemy can speak? Yeah. So it's actually hearing God's voice, being intentional about it, and then recognizing it as God's voice. And it links in with the gift of discerning spirits, or discernment. We'll just call it discernment. Because you can tell the truth, tell the difference between a truth and a lie. And so God speaks to us in many ways. It can be through symbols. It can be through signs. It can be through, like, the audible voice. It can be through, like, this knowing. So I have this really crazy thing happen. I just started a brand new facility. So I travel around Columbus as a nurse practitioner, and I went to this brand new facility a couple, like 2 weeks ago. And I pull in, and it's in a low part of town, bad part of town, we'll say. And there's like 5 cop cars on the outside of this facility. So I'm like, what did I get myself into? So I walk inside, and this place has a lot of psych patients, a lot of low socioeconomic status patients who like, just are wandering around everywhere, maybe not have bathed very much. Some of them probably were homeless. I don't know. So anyway, I'm like, man, okay, like, I don't mind doing that. I actually do that for a living. Like, I don't mind who my patients are. I just want to make sure where I'm at is where God's called me. So I was kind of, like, praying about it, like, okay, God, like, I don't know if you've called me here or not. So anyway, the patients are, like, everywhere. Like, I couldn't even find one patient. I had to find a nurse to find a patient for me. It took us, like, 20 minutes to hunt this lady down. So we finally go to the room. I see the patient. It's awesome. It's wonderful. And then when I'm walking out of the room, I'm still like, God, like, are you calling me here? It was my first day. And I was walking down the hall, and I, like, looked to the left and, like, literally typed out, and pasted on the wall. It said R. Reynolds, which is my name, Rachel Reynolds. And so I'm like, all right, Jesus, like, all right. The writing is on the wall. I'm called here. So what's even weirder is that was my first day. The next time I went there, it was gone. It wasn't even there anymore. So I'm like, all right, Jesus, like, you called me here. So, but God speaks us and we hear. We're intentional of listening to him and we recognize his voice. So when you're awake, you also can speak. Gosh, I could write, like, books about speaking. I am so passionate about the power of the tongue. So in Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit, right? So our tongue can have the power to release life, or has the power to release death. So there's this lady who shared this testimony at our church, which I'm going to give you the, like, shortest, sweetest version of this story. This young girl's grandpa was brain dead and on life support in the hospital. So this young girl was empowered to go and pray for her grandpa. So she went to the hospital room and prayed for her grandpa on life support. And he was in a coma. Like I said, he was brain dead. He was pronounced brain dead. And she prayed life into her grandpa. He ended up waking up and getting off life support and then leaving the hospital without any repercussions from anything. She used her mouth. She spoke life into her grandpa. It was so amazing. So when you speak, it's also a way for us to worship. So when we're alive, we're awake, we worship, right? So when we're in heaven, what are we going to be doing in heaven? Worshiping. So when we are worshiping on the earth, we use our tongues to praise the Lord. What are you doing? You're actually bringing heaven down to earth because we're worshiping in heaven. So when you worship on the earth, you're bringing heaven to earth. You're actually releasing heaven over the earth because you're setting yourself in heavenly places when you worship. So when you're awake, you worship, you praise. This ties into the spiritual gifts of message of wisdom, message of knowledge. So these spiritual gifts, like, the reason they're there is because you're releasing something with your mouth. You're releasing something into the atmosphere. You change the atmosphere with your words. And it also ties into the spiritual gift of prophecy. So like I said earlier, it's like prophesying into something. You're calling strength, comfort, and encouragement to prophecy because that's what prophecy is. And so what you do is you actually, with your mouth, you call those things forth. You raise expectation. You raise hope. You give direction. So when you speak and you're awake, when you're fully awake, spiritually and mentally, I guess, you actually speak on purpose. So when you're awake, you also have a hunger and a thirst. So when you're in the grave, your stomach's not growling because your stomach's not alive. You don't have hunger pains. And so what I mean by this is just as simple as it comes. It's when you're awake, when you're fully awake, when you're fully awake, you have hunger pains. You have a hunger. It starts to growl, probably like a lot of what your stomachs are doing right now. So your hunger, you hunger. So when you are awake, you hunger for the Lord. There's never enough of him. You know, the Bible is sometimes so backwards in the way we, like, do things. You know, like, if you eat and then you're satisfied in the natural, but in the supernatural, you eat and you get more hungry, right? So when you're awake, you have a hunger for the Lord. You have a thirst for the Lord. There's never enough that satisfies you. And sometimes when we're dead, we're satisfied. Sometimes we're like, you know, I'm actually good, like, with what God's doing in my life. I'm good with, I don't need anything else. I'm okay. That's what a full heart looks like. That looks like satisfaction. It's like not moving forward. But when you're awake, it's no, I don't care. Like, yeah, God's moving great in my life, but I want more. And I hunger and thirst for him more. I'm looking for him more. I am seeking him out. So when you're awake, the next thing is you lay on of hands. Or if you want to go with, like, senses, it's touch. And so in Luke, it talks about, in Luke 4, it says, while the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them, which goes into your guys' healing service, which I'm super excited about. That's going to be amazing. So when you lay your hands, when you're awake, you're laying your hands, you're touched, you're releasing power out of your hands. And then in Acts, it says, when Peter and John were praying for new believers, it says, Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So when you're awake, when you're spiritually awake, you are laying your hands on things. You are releasing things out of your hands. This brings, these are weapons. And they can release power and they can release love. And this also ties in with the gift of healing, which we already kind of covered, was you release healing out of your hands. This also ties in with the gift of miraculous powers. You release things through your hands. Through the laying of hands, you see things happen. So we're intentional about touch, appropriate touch, and we're intentional about bringing healing and bringing power and bringing love. So when you're awake, you're going to start seeing those things unfold in your life. When you're fully awake, you're actually going to start seeing things happen when you use your hands to bring them forth. When you're awake, you have life. So this is really, really, really simple. And it's as simple as it gets. When Jesus was talking to Martha and John, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So some of us can be awake, but we don't actually have Jesus. Some of us can be awake and we actually don't have the Holy Spirit. So what do I mean by that? It's you can be dead, but you're walking around like a zombie. You're awake. So as simply put, when Jesus says, I am the life, it's when you're awake, you have Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit. You're walking in that. And this is the last one. When you're awake, you bear fruit. So I love this one. In Galatians, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So when I say you're awake, but there's certain areas of our life that can be dead, that's a bummer. And when Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it's saying when you're awake, these are things that are actually going to start manifesting in your life all the time. And I'm going to go through them, and they're love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you're awake, you're going to see all of those manifesting in your life. When you're fully awake, you're going to hold on and see and bear the fruit of all of the fruits of the Spirit. Also, when you're awake, you're going to see other fruits. And we'll start to see, you know, the Great Commission was like, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. So that's like salvations, right? It's the simplest way to relate it to us. And that doesn't mean you have to go to Kenya. Doesn't mean you have to go overseas to other countries. Gosh, Columbus is so full of nations in itself. Your neighborhood is so full of nations in itself. So you actually, when you're awake, you're going to bear the fruit of seeing disciples in your neighborhood, in your home, in your house, in your work, at the grocery store. You're going to see disciples coming forth because that's a fruit that naturally comes when you're awake. Jesus also told his disciples, go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out. So when you're awake, you're going to see those fruits coming forth too. You're like, I don't even mean to happen. God was dead and he came back to life. Like, you're going to see manifestations of the Holy Spirit in your life when you're fully awake, you know? So when you're awake, those fruits are going to naturally pour forth. Like an apple tree doesn't force itself to have apples. It naturally produces apples. When you're a believer and you're fully awake, you're going to naturally see the fruits of the Spirit coming out of your life. You're going to naturally see disciples of all nations. You're going to naturally see, like, the dead raised, the sick healed, the lame walked, the blind healed. You know, you're going to see those things in your life because you're awake. You've been fully awakened. When you bear fruit, this is one of the things too, is there's this term that we use called pregnant with promise. And if you guys aren't familiar with it, when you're pregnant, you wait 9 months for a baby to come forth, right? So when you're pregnant with promise, you wait an extended amount of time before that that promise comes forth. So it's called pregnant with promise. So when you're dead, you're barren. You don't have fruit. You don't have offspring. When you're awake, you have promise. It's a guarantee. If you're awake, you have promise. And when you're pregnant with promise, like, what's the purpose of promise? So I actually had an opportunity to speak at my church a few months ago, and I talked about promise. And so what do promises do for you? They give you hope and focus. They stimulate desires in your heart that you may or may not know were there. They empower us. So they're like the fuel to our fire. That's what promises do. We shift our hearts to align with truth. When you have a promise, God speaks, and he speaks truth, and then he attaches a promise to it. So it helps our hearts align with truth. So what does it mean to be awake? I'm just giving you basic, just generalized overview of what does it mean to be awake. Gosh, it goes so much deeper. It goes so much more. There's like so much more I could have said, but I'm just trying to keep it as like simply put, is because we can all grasp it. We are all ready to receive. So to be awake means in all areas of our life, it means we're growing, we're running, we're abounding, we're overflowing, we're spirited, we're ready, we're revived, we're stimulated, we're kindled. Simply put, if you're fully awake, then you're literally walking in the fullness of everything that Jesus paid for. So what would it look like if every believer walked around as if they were fully awake? What would it look like if every area of your own personal life became fully awake? What would it look like? How would the world be different if we walked around fully awake? I know the cry of my heart is to be awakened. I keep saying, like, wake me up, Jesus, wake me up. I want to be awake. I want to live. I want everything that God has paid for. I want everything Jesus has paid for. I'm not walking in the fullness yet. I haven't seen the dead raised, but I'm going after it because Jesus said I could. You know, I haven't seen some guy that was brain dead come out of a coma, but you know what? I'm going to do it every time I have the opportunity to. I'm going to speak life into that situation. You know, I haven't taken every opportunity God gave me when I went to the grocery store, probably because I wasn't being intentional of listening. I was just more focused on my task. But I want it all. Like, I know there is more, and I don't want Jesus' death to be in vain. I want to live fully awake. So I want you guys to just take a moment, and I want you guys to just check your hearts. I just want you to examine your hearts for a moment and just ask the Lord, is there an area of my life that I need to be awakened in? There's an area in my heart that needs to be woken up, and maybe seeing those opportunities at the post office, being intentional of looking for opportunities, being intentional of hearing God's voice and recognizing it. Maybe it's, speaking life into situations. Maybe it's speaking on purpose that you need to be woken up in. And if you're like, I'm actually good in all those areas, I think I'm pretty solid, well, then maybe it's your hunger that needs to be woken up today. Maybe it's your heart and your hunger that needs to be stirred a little bit because you're satisfied, actually. You're pretty good with what you have. It's that hunger that needs to come back. Maybe you've lost your promises. Maybe those promises that were supposed to, like, fuel your fire, stimulate your heart, align your heart with truth, maybe you lost them because it took too long to come into fulfillment. And those need to be woke up in your life again. They need to be awakened because you lost your hope, you lost your expectation, you lost your fire. So I'm gonna say a prayer, and then we're gonna take communion and do offering. But I wanna encourage you, and I wanna challenge you that if there's areas of your life that you actually want to be woken up, today is the day to ask for that, to go after that, to be aware of it, and then go after it. It doesn't end today; it's the rest of your life. It's to be woken up. So God, we just ask right now that you just come. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you just search every heart with them. And then Lord, I ask if there's just any areas of their lives that they need to be woken up in, Lord, that you just bring that to their attention. Lord, where there's areas where they can just rise up as the leaders, the mighty men and women you've called them to be. God, if there's areas in their life, Lord, just wake them up right now. Call that into attention, Lord, and just fuel that fire that's within each one of them here. And Holy Spirit, we just say, have your way. Have your way. And we just say, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And we love you, Jesus, and we pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Rach.
Yeah.
Let her know you appreciate her preaching this morning. Amen. Please stand up. Stand up. So we're gonna take our offering, enter into some time of worship, and just as Rachel was saying, open your hearts up, and then toward the end of worship, we'll have some time for prayer and ministry and an opportunity for personal ministry. See what the Holy Spirit's doing here this morning. So let's have our ushers come forward. We'll take our offering.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Lord, I need
you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we see, no, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid, 'cause I know that you stand by me. So won't you stand by me? Oh, stand by me. stand? Won't you stand? Stand by me. Stand by me. 'Cause Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Thank you, God. If you still need prayer, feel free to come forward. Otherwise, that concludes our service. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.